Good morning. My name is Ernie. I'll be sharing the scripture today, and we'll be going to cruising on the book of Nehemiah. So thank you for joining us today for this morning prayer. So first let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful morning. You are awesome, you are wonderful, you are glorious, you are adorable, and we worship you and we honor you. Thank you for your mighty presence, God, in this place. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit leading us, guiding us, giving us understanding through your Holy Word. Thank you, Father God, for just filling, Lord God, this room with your presence, God, and preparing our heart to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I said a while ago that we're going to cruise the book of Nehemiah, but first we have to read Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9 to 12, and the title of this sharing for this morning is "The Joy of the Lord is Your Strength," or "My Strength." So let's start in verse 9, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9. I'll be reading in the ESV version, then you can also follow me in your own Bible. "And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep.' For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portion to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.' So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, 'Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved.' And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them." Bless the reading of the Word of God. We're going to focus on the word, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." You know, this text or this verse has been oftenly quoted, that the joy of the Lord is strength, especially if you feel so tired, especially if after a long days of work, tiring, and then, you know, pressures, stresses. Sometimes it's clear, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Every time that we need to accomplish something and we feel something that seems I cannot finish, I cannot do it. And we declare, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." But the question is, do we really know the meaning of this, "The joy of the Lord is our strength"? Are we using this word in a proper context? You know, this word is declared only in the book of Nehemiah. When I try to research it in the whole Bible, there's a word said, "God is our strength, the Lord is our strength," but the word, "The joy of the Lord is our strength," is only found in the book of Nehemiah. So there, and even this word, "The joy of the Lord," is only mentioned in chapter 8, not mentioned in chapter 1, chapter 2, 3, or even after the chapter 8, is only specifically mentioned right after the building or rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. The book of Nehemiah actually is, almost half of it, or more than half of it, is focused on the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Now, for us to understand why the Holy Spirit of God inspired this word to the mouth of Nehemiah to declare that the joy is the Lord of your strength, we need to go back. We need to understand the situation of the Jews, of the Israelites during that time, while they are building the walls of Jerusalem. Now, we know that before Nehemiah, we have the book of Ezra. Now, Ezra is the priest whom God was called to build and rebuild the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. And this temple was built around 46 years. And he's also, God also used him to lead the exile from Babylon going back to Israel. Because that time, Jerusalem, because that time, Babylon has fallen to Persia. So it is the Persian house reigning, so they are allowed to go back to their own town, which is in Jerusalem. So it is also Ezra led the first batch of the exile from Babylon. So it is Ezra was called to build the temple of the Lord, but still the walls of Jerusalem is in ruin. So it is Nehemiah that God called to rebuild the ruined walls of Jerusalem. Now, Nehemiah, he has a good work. He has a good profession at that time. He was the cupbearer of the king of Persia, which is King Artaxerxes. You know, his work needs to be trusted by the king. Being a cupbearer at that time, it is hard for the king to choose who's the right person to trust. Especially this one, Nehemiah is a Jew. He's not a Persian. So it is a blessing. It is a favor from the Lord that Nehemiah got this work entrusted by the king to be a cupbearer. Because cupbearer, you know, anything that the king will drink, the cupbearer should taste it first. So that in case that somebody wants to assassinate the king, now the king will know that, oh, my cupbearer died. So somebody's trying to kill me. So the work of Nehemiah is so significant in that time. And we believe that God installed him in that time. And now, one day, one of the Israelites came and gave him a news. Isn't it? And this news said that the people in Jerusalem, his people in Jerusalem, is in great distress and reproach. The survivor in Jerusalem, or the people of Israelites in that time, they are great in this. Why? Because the walls are not yet secured. They are open for any attack if the enemy or other nation will try to attack them. So they feel not, they feel uneasy and not secured during that time. So that will be found in chapter 1. So we are going back to chapter 1. And then again, the moment that Nehemiah heard that news, his heart began to, you know, to start praying and fasting before the Lord. He goes before the Lord, and then one of his prayer is in verse 8 said, "Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost part of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chose to make my name dwell.'" So Nehemiah pray and ask God, "Remember your covenant with Moses." So he began to ask forgiveness on behalf of the people, because this is what now he's seeing, you know. But now he's seeing that God are begin to drawing them back in their own place, in their own dwelling place, that is in Jerusalem. So Nehemiah fervently pray, and God answered his favor. Not immediately that the war is finished and so like that, but God put something in his heart, which is to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which is rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which is found in chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 12. And at that time, in verse 19, it said, and then when they start rebuilding this wall, immediately there are people who is against in rebuilding this wall. And one of that is Sanballat. He's a Jew, and during that time, a governor of Samaria, and an influential person. And Horonite, verse 19. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Ammonite, servant of Gesem, and the Arab heard of it, they jeered, meaning they mock at us and despise us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Then I replied to them, the God of heaven will make us prosper and his servants will arise and build. So the moment these people heard that Nehemiah and the people of God were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, this Sanballat and three other persons, they began, you know, discouraging them. They are opposing the construction or rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. You know, if try to imagine that, you know, if the Lord calls you, and then he wants to do you something and accomplish, I think expect that somebody, we're going to have an opposition, because that's the way it is. When you do something good, when you do something right, sometimes the enemy is trying to stop us. So the moment they start, the beginning they start this construction, immediately there is an opposition. And going to chapter 3, now they start the full blast of the constructions of the walls of Jerusalem. You know, all the walls and the gates and the towers. And if you are trying to look on chapter 3, all of the gates is ruined. The majority that is ruined is all of the gates, because gates in that time, if it is ruined, meaning you are defeated, meaning you have been conquered. That is why all the gates of this wall had been ruined. There is a major part of the walls that have been ruined. Then go back to chapter 4 again. In chapter 2, we know that, you know, just in Nehemiah said that God of heaven will make us prosper and his servant will arise and build. In chapter 4, again, Sanballat strikes again. No? He's not stopping until these people were going to stop working and rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Sanballat, Tobias, and Gesem, the Arab, was so angry because they're still continuing constructing the walls of Jerusalem. Now, right in that time, the walls is already in halfway. And for us to understand, I give you some specification of what is this walls that they are constructing. This wall length is around 2.49 meters, or 4,000 meters. I don't know, but that is long. It's circumferential. The average height is 12 meters, meaning equivalent to 3 floors. Probably this one is around 4 or 5 meters. Then add more. 7 floors. So equivalent to 3 floors. And the thickness is 2.5 meters. That wall, around to this wall, that is the thickness of the walls of Jerusalem. So we will try to imagine that rebuilding that wall is not easy, because during that time there is no heavy equipment, there's no heavy machineries that are going to help them. They're going to build that by carrying, probably using some camel, or using by their own hands or other animals to carry. But they're going to build it and pile it one by one, the stone. So in the mind of Nehemiah, we are doing this one, but why is this people are trying to stop us? Especially in chapter 4, in verse 1 said, now when Sanballat heard we were rebuilding the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged. And he jeered at Jews again and said, in the presence of his brother and the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they survive the stones of the heaps of rubbish and burn once at that? Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and said, yes, what are they building? If a fox goes up on it, it will break down in this stone wall. But take note of this, Nehemiah's answer. He prayed, hear, O God, for we are despise. Hear, O God, for these people are despising us. These people are discouraging us. These people are mocking us for rebuilding this wall, which is you are. This is your commandment. This is your heart to rebuild this wall. So Nehemiah prayed. And in verse 7, this the same person, Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs, is conspired to fight Jerusalem and cause disturbance. And verse 7 said, but when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion. And then what Nehemiah did is, and we prayed to our God and set God as a protection against them day and night. So these people, these three people constantly, you know, trying to do something. They fabricated words and news just to stop working. No, we don't know why. Yeah. And then Nehemiah encouraged the people, because right now the people are beginning to, you know, discouraged and being afraid that time. So in verse 14 in the same chapter 4, I look and arose, said to the nobles, to the officials, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. So Nehemiah encouraged these people, his people, the people that's rebuilding, that God will going to fight for you, your family, your homes, and your brothers and sisters. Do not afraid for this people. God is with us. And then what Nehemiah did in verse 15, 16, and 17 in chapter 4 is they armed themselves because of this threat that Sanballat and Tobiah are planning. They put a sword in their side, and then they are working, and the other man is carrying the bow and arrow. And while they are working, men are, you know, they're handling the others are, they are holding their weapon, and the other hand is carrying stone. Imagine what they are doing. No, they can just easily say, oh, don't, let's not continue building the walls of Jerusalem. Let's just stop it so that we'll have this feeling of fear. We're not going to, you know, to mock us or jeer us, something like that. But no, because this is the plan of God. This is what, you know, that we will know that it is not only them who is working this wall. Somebody is helping them so that they will go, that so that they can finish this wall. In chapter 5, we will read again that there's another additional problem. So when there's so many problems coming while they are building the walls, there's also this problem among them because many are practicing usury. You know, usury is just, you know, you have to lend money and they just will give some big interest so that until they cannot pay, and then they're going to get their properties. And then Nehemiah talked to these people and don't practice usury. And he even shared his experience being a governor, that he did not take advantage of his possession, of his position. And then the people agreed on that time, agreed that they were not going to charge, they were not going to practice this usury. And then God again worked in the life of these people. In chapter 6, again, Sanballat plot to harm Nehemiah. Okay? So he is not stopping. They are not stopping, you know, to harm, to give fear, to discourage these people on constructing them. He even make a false testimony, a fabricated accusation to discourage and create fear in chapter 6. And even in chapter 12, conspiracy, even he conspired with the prophet, you know, to talk to the prophet and ask Nehemiah, this is what the Lord is saying, you know, so that when Nehemiah will come into the temple or to the house of the prophet, you know, they were going to kill him. You know, even prophet is conspired with Sanballat because Sanballat paid them so that they were going to, you know, to maybe kill and make harm to Nehemiah. So all in verse 6, he unleashed all the possible, you know, plan that can stop or can harm or even kill Nehemiah so that they will not, you know, proceed in constructing the walls of Jerusalem. In chapter 6, now the walls of Jerusalem is finished. Whatever the enemy is trying to do to stop them, but they cannot stop rebuilding the walls because this is the plan of God. You know, in verse 15 of chapter 66, it said that they finish the walls of Jerusalem for only 52 days. The temple they construct 46 years, but the temple they finish the walls they finish constructing it for only 52 days. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul. The Elul is the sixth month of the Jewish calendar in 52 days. And when all the enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived, this is what the people around them perceived in their mind, this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. The people alone, they cannot finish it. It's so impossible. But because this is the plan of God to finish it, to build the walls of Jerusalem, God helped them. This is a miracle work of God. That's why when the people around say, oh, they have this fear that they already been, you know, the walls already rebuilt and they have been strengthened and have been knowing that God is with them. Now, why do we need to go in the details of this history of rebuilding of the walls? For us to grasp and fully understand their situation during that time is not easy. That without God, they were not able to carry out the finished task. And even though left and right, there is great God's strength and protect them and help them to finish the construction. So this is the plan of God. That's why it is joy of God to finish the walls. And that's give them strength to finish and constructing the wall. Now, if you try to notice in our text in chapter 8, verse 9 to 12, he stresses twice, this day is holy to the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, he stresses two parts. When I ask God, God, why did you repeat the word, this day is holy to the Lord? You know, it's a great thing that you have asked questions to the Lord because He is going to answer you. And He said, and then the joy of the Lord is your strength. I believe that this is the plan of God to finish it on the sixth month of the year, the walls of Jerusalem. Because the following that is the seventh month of the Jewish calendar, which is in the seventh month, there are three feasts. Feast of Trumpet, Feast of Atonement, and Feast of Booths or Tabernacle. And in his infinite wisdom, God planned to finish that because say this day is holy to the Lord because this is the time of the feast of the Lord. And they said, and we have read that they even said that don't cry, don't mourn, because what they said, they are not trying to say that they are not going to sorry in their sin, because when they heard the word of God, they cried out, they wept in their sin, because they heard how they violate the commandments of the Lord in those time. So one of that is the Feast of Booths, which is this is being observed after God is delivered the Israelites from the hand of Egypt. That's why God planned to finish this and celebrated it in the Feast of Booths. That's why this is this day is holy to the Lord because this is the feast of God that He appointed. We should not marring the feast, meaning there should be rejoicing. We should be glad. We should be, you know, joyous in celebration in this kind of feast because God wants to remember the Jews that this day I am also establishing you as a nation again. Same thing in the Feast of Booths in the time of Moses, and same thing again that in the time of Nehemiah, that God is establishing again the nation of Israel to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Wow. Well, let me have a quick again. Amen. Now, go back in this present time, in the time of Jesus. The original meaning of joy in Hebrew text, the prime root word meaning is to rejoice and make glad. But there's another one said, be joined. Be joined. The meaning, and I looked the word joined in Cambridge Dictionary, is to connect or fasten. In Oxford, is to link, connect. So what the Israelites did is they connect, they joined the plan of God. That's why God is rejoicing. That gives them strength. Amen? The people of Israel is joined with the plan of God. They obey. And then God, and when the war is finished, and He saw the obedience of His people, He has been joyed, and then that makes the people receive their strength. And we have this in EG that God invites you to become involved with Him in His work wherever you are. You know, God is pleased because the people are obeying and doing the will of God. They are joining the work of God, and in return, they were able to finish the repairs in a very short time. And God glorified it, and they believe that it is a miracle. You know, Jesus' joy is His desire to please the Father and abiding in Him. In John 15:10-11 said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. So it is by keeping and the commandments and abiding in His love that the joy of the Lord will be in us. And we can also become our strength. His desire to please the Father and abide in Him, in other words, His joy was the fruit of obedience and delights in God's thought and ways, as well as unbroken communion and intimacy with Him through abiding in Him. So it is, you know, the desire of pleasing the will or doing the will of God that is the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we declare the joy of the Lord is our strength. We need to understand first that are we abiding? Are we doing the will of God? That when we declare the joy of the Lord is strength, we'll really receive His strength? Are we truly giving joy to God? Because no, we cannot say the joy of the Lord of our strength if we're feeding our desire, our fleshly desire, the whole night in the activities contrary to the commandments of the Lord, and for the following day you feel so tired, you go to the church and say, declare, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I think that's not, you know, you are declaring it in a wrong context, because you are not pleasing, you are not doing, you are not following the commandments, and you say your joy of the Lord is a strength. I think that's not a proper, you know, declaration. You should be keeping the commandments and abiding in His love. And secondly, His joy watching and seeing the Father at works in His life. Now in Luke chapter 10, this is where the disciples were returning to Jesus and then reporting what they have, the victory in the mission that they had done. And then in verse 21, in that same hour, He rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding revealed to them, the little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. So His joy came from watching and seeing the Father at work in His life. Knowing the joy He feels in having close relationship with us is our strength. Delighting to please the Father and abiding in His love will lead to His joy abiding in us to the point of being complete, and that is our strength. The strength we need for this life found essential for essential joy of God by abiding in Him. So it's only by abiding, it's only by following an obedience to the Lord, you know, that we will be receiving, that God will be joyful, and that will be our strength. I remember one time, this is my, to finish it, I remember one time we have a mission going to the province, and we have to climb up two mountains to reach out this group of people to evangelize them, because somebody's is invited us. And then I am together with a pastor, which is, you know, he is limping because he suffered a minor stroke. But the way that while we are walking, going up to the mountain, I see his joy. Even he's limping, you know, like that. The mountain's steep. He's limping, but I see his joy. So I try to, look, what is in this person that even he is limping? It is a bit hard for him to climb, but I can see his joy. I can see that he's the strength. I can see that he is determined to go to climb a two mountain to reach out these people, to evangelize these people. So to the point that even I feel so tired, I sleep a little bit on the side because it is very steep on the right side. And I said, oh God, I thank you, God, for you giving this man an inspiration for me, that even, you know, he's in mid-40s, I think, that he's limping, he has this determination, he has this strength, he has this joy to reach out, because we understood that this is the will of God, seeing that being accomplished to reach out and evangelize these people. Amen? So as I invite James to lead us in worship, all of us needs that kind of strength which only found in Christ. In Philippians 4, verse 12 and 13, in verse 13 said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. We only can get the strength that we need only in Christ. This all is pertaining to the doing of the will of God in our life. Not the things that we want to do, not the things that we would like to accomplish, but doing the will of God. God will give us strength to do all of His will. Don't seek ministries. No, it is good to seek, but said in the Bible, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you as well. This being taught by Pizam and encourages us and giving us more understanding about this. When we seek Jesus first, when we seek to please God first, it is Him who will open the vineyard for us to work. He will sustain you with His strength. He will guide you and protect you. And He will finish what He started in your life. And if there are any spirit of Sanballat, Tobias, that trying to discourage us, threatens you, remember God's deliverance to Nehemiah from the hands of his enemies. Now, how about you? Are you still walking in faith in the Lord? Are you serving Him faithfully, or are you feel tired? Are you submitting yourself to God in carrying out His will in your own personal life, in your work, to your family, to fellow believers and unbelievers, and to the ministry you are called involved? It's not too late. If you're taking a detour in life, call to Jesus. Ask Him to forgive you, to restore you, give you the power in the Holy Spirit to serve Him again with joy and strength. Let's worship.
bring restoration. You bring restoration. Bring restoration to my soul. Oh, bring restoration. Bring restoration. You bring restoration to my soul. You take my mourning, turn it into dancing. You take my weeping, turn it into laughing. You take my mourning, turn it into dancing. You take my sadness, turn it into joy. You take my mourning, turn it into dancing. You take my weeping, turn it into laughing. You take
Father, we thank you, Lord God. Thank you for being restoration, Lord God, for those brethren, Lord God, that feeling so tired, Lord God, feeling even in the time, oh God, that quitting, God. But we thank you, Lord God, for restoring them, God. We thank you, Lord God, that you who began a good works in them, God, you are faithful to complete it, Lord God. That Father God, even though God, that they feel tired, oh Lord God, that when they ask of you and they began, oh Lord God, to obey you, oh Lord God, and follow your commandments, God, you will be pleased, oh God, that you are going to restore them, God. That you're going to strengthen us once again, Lord God, to carry out, Lord, your will, Lord God. To obey, oh God, your commandments, obey, God, your instructions, to obey, your God, your words, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, oh God, in empowering us by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Glory, honor, and praise belongs to you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. So let's go for our prayer focus for this day. So let us lift up the members of our church and the body of Christ who are suffering from cancer and chemotherapy. Let's declare Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 said, "But he who was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement of that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Let's lift up those who are ill and sick that is needed physical and spiritual healing. Let's declare James 5:15. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Let's pray. And let's lift up our brethren that is experiencing infirmities. Declare the words in Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord. And let's lift up our brothers and sisters who are praying and looking for jobs, that God will going to open and opportunities on them. Let's declare John 15:5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Let's pray. Let's pray for our mission focus for today, for North Korea, open doors for the ministry, missional opportunities, partnership in Asia, persecuted churches in the Middle East. And the SP Welcome Gatherings, SLW, Mission Outreach, Drug Rehab Outreach, Sunday Service, Noah's Ark, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth Yahweh, Spin Services and activities in all the meetings. Let's pray. Let's declare this word that in Matthew and in Isaiah 52:6-7 said, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day they shall know that it is who speak, here I am. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation. And let us lift up the house church meeting today, the Fortress House to House, Mawan, South Side and West Side. Let's declare His word in 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Let's pray. So let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. Thank you, Lord God, for all the prayers. And thank you for all, Lord God, of the promises that God written, Lord God, and spoken, Lord God, in the scriptures. And we declare all those truths, O Lord God. We declare all those powerful words that give lives, that give healing, that gives hope, that gives salvation, Lord God. And we just hold on to it, God. And we know, God, that your word, O Lord God, will not return empty, God, that it will accomplish, Lord God, the way it is being sent forth, O Lord God, and declare that even now, God, we claim, Lord God, the answers of the prayers, God, that you are the God of answering, God, that our God answers our prayers, God, that in your perfect timing, Lord God, in your perfect will, Lord God, you're going to unveil, Lord God, in our own very eyes, O God, the answers of our prayers, O God, and let, Lord God, that it is your joy, God, that all the promises, O God, will be, Lord God, carry out and accomplish, Lord God, into your people, Lord God. That, Lord God, it will also give us strength, Lord God, so as we continue, Lord God, to abide in you, Lord God, and obedient, O Lord God, into your commandments, O Lord God. So, Father, bless, O Lord God, as we continue, Lord God, to be in your presence and pray, Father God, and we thank you and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name, we pray. So stay in the presence of the Lord where you continue praying and meditating. See you again tomorrow.